about two-thirds way down the page. We said that this chapter on Likutei Moran is based on a discussion in the Gemara where Rabbi Akiva and three other tzaddikim went up to a very high place in heaven, and they saw certain things that could easily confuse a person. When a person sometimes goes to a very high madrega, it's possible to see things that aren't clear, and chas v'shalom come away with the wrong impression. So Rabbi Akiva warned his talmidim that when you get to a certain place where you're going to see a special, pure marble stone, you shouldn't think that it's water, but rather you should know that it's marble. Don't say water, water, but rather you should know that it's marble, because the pasuk says, "Dover shkorim lo yikon l'neged einai," that a person who lies or tells lies, Hashem says, I don't want that person in front of my eyes. And on this statement, on this incident in the Gemara, Rabbi Nizal builds a chapter on Likutei Moran. He begins talking about the fact that falsehood does damage to the eyes physically and spiritually. And he brings psukim to support it. Then Rabbi Nizal shows how when a person cries, tears are related to falsehood. Because Rabbi Nizal says the kind of tears he's referring to here are tears that come from depression, Rahman al-Islam. And when a person cries, the vision becomes blurred. And when the vision is blurred, you can't really see clearly. You can make a mistake and think you're seeing A when you're really seeing B. And then Rabbi Nizal went on to say that this statement, the concept of mayim mayim, the concept of saying something twice, we know that there's certain water, for example, salt water. If a person drinks salt water, the more they drink, the more thirsty they're going to get. So this concept of mayim mayim refers to that kind of water, salt water, which forces you to, you drink and you want more water. Water causes you to want more water, which in itself represents the concept of a lie. The fact that you think you're drinking something that's going to quench your thirst, and it's really doing the opposite of that. And that's the concept of tears. Tears are salty water. And Rabbi Nizal here specifically is referring to tears that come from morash chayra, from depression. Now, in this next paragraph, Rabbi Nizal is going to deal with a topic that's a little bit deep. Rabbi Nizal wants to explain how the concept of tahara and tumah begin. The fact that there's pure and impure, if we think in terms of Hashem Echod, Hashem is one, in one, there's no concept of pure and impure. In one, you can only have one. Pure toher and tomeh implies two. Where does that originate from, and how do we deal with that? The Hisavus HaSheker, the creation and the beginning of Sheker, Shehu Hora, which is synonymous with evil. Shehu, why? Because Hashem is Emes. Hashem Alekechem Emes, we say. Sheker, which means that Sheker is the opposite of Hashem. Hashem is Toiv, Toiv Hashem Lakoil, means automatically that the opposite of sheker is ra. So Rabbi Nizal says, "V'hisavus hasheker shehu hara shehu hatuma hu machmas harichuk meyechod." You want to know how sheker came about? It came about by moving away from one. Ki hara hu negdius. The concept of ra, evil, is a concept of opposition, something that's opposite. Lamoshel, for example, kol ma shehu neged ritzoinoi shel odom hu ra. When people speak, normally, you hear any person talking, when something's happening that's the opposite of what they want to happen, they define that as a bad thing. Because I wanted this to happen, the opposite of that happened, the person assumes that it's bad. Ube'echod ein shayach negdis. When there's one, there's no concept of an opposite to it. Elo kulay toiv. Within one, it's all good. V'zeh shomer chazal. This is what the Gemara says in Psachim. Bayoyim hahu yihye Hashem echod. That there's going to come a time when Hashem is going to be one. So the Gemara asks over there, what do you mean? And now Hashem isn't one? So the Gemara explains, now there's a concept of when a good thing happens to a person, they make a certain bracha, hatoiv ametiv, and when something bad happens to a person, they make a bracha, borach dayin emes. In the future, the Gemara says it's going to be only hatoiv ametiv. There's only going to be good. So we see that the Gemara defines echod as good. When we say that in the future there's going to be one, if there's going to be one, it's only going to be good. Sheyeh kulay hatoy v'hametiv. Ki be'echod ein shayech ra. Because within one, there's no concept of evil. Just as Rabbeinu Zal explained in Torah Dalet in Likudei Moran, that the word ahav, the word echod is bigimatria ahava. Ahava means love. Usually we assume that there's ahava and sinna. Opposition, negdius means sinna. Within echod, if you're dealing with echod, echod is only ahava. Echod is only that one direction.
Echod is gimatria ahava.
Exactly, that's what I said. The alkein, and therefore, lo'osid lovoy yekuyom sfas emes tikoin lo'ad. The Zohar HaKadosh says that in the future, this is a pasuk, the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about it, there's a pasuk that says that the truth is going to be established forever. It's going to be eternal. Ki yihye oz kulay echod, kulay toiv. Because then, in the future, we said there's going to be echod and toiv. Echod and toiv is synonymous with emes, because we said before that sheker was the opposite of toiv. Ki emes hu echod, because truth is also synonymous with one. How? Lemoshel, for example, al kli kesef, if you have a silver dish, kishoymer molav shu kli kesef hu emes. If I say about this that this is a silver dish, I'm telling the truth. Avol kishoymer molav shu kli zohov, but if I say it's a gold dish, hu sheker, that's a lie. Nimtza sheho emes hu echod, the truth is only one. Ki ef shalomar emes rak shehu kli kesef lo yoser. To define what this is in reality, I can only give it one definition. Aval hasheker hu harbe. Whereas if I want to tell a lie about this item, I could say a lot of things about it. Ki ef shalomar shehu kli zov hu kli nechoshes v'shar shemois. I could call it a gold dish, a copper dish. I could call it a floor, whatever I want. So sheker is many, and emes is one. Nimtza shehasheker hu bebechinas bikshu cheshbonos rabim. When we talk about falsehood, it's a concept of wanting many. This pasuk is written about the nations of the world. Bikshu cheshbonos rabim. They make all kinds of calculations. They're looking for big, lots of stuff, and in the end, they end up with nothing. Ubishvil ze, and because of this, laos, because of what we've said till now, that Echod and Emes and Toiv are all one, and that that's what there's going to be in the future. Ubishvil ze, lo'osid lovoy yizbatel hora. In the future, there will not be any bad, any evil. V'yizbatel ha'hisnagdus, and there will not be any opposition. V'yizbatel dumo'ois, and there won't be any more tears. K'moy shekosuv. And Rabbeinu Zal brings three psukim now to show this. The first pasuk, lo yoreyu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kodshi, lo yoreyu. Rabbeinu Zal says that means there won't be no ra. There won't be any ra, even though that's not the literal translation of it. Rabbeinu Zal interprets it, no ra. Hainu bitul ra. Uchsiv, there's a second pasuk that says, v'gor ze'ei v'mkeves v'nomer in diyachtov, that the wolf and the sheep and the leopard and the goat are going to live together in peace. These two who are now, the wolf opposes the sheep. There's hisnagdus. Hainu bechinas bitul ha-hisnagdus. There will no longer be any clashes, any opposition, any machloikis. Uchsiv, there's a third pasuk that says, Umocho Hashem alekim dimo me'al kol ponim. That Hashem will erase the tears from all the faces. They won't. So we see all three of these things, ra and hisnagdus, and tears, are all on one panel. They're all on one side. All three are going to be eliminated in the future and replaced by Echod, Emes, and Toiv. Ki oz yihye Hashem Echod u'shmoy Echod, sheu kulay Toiv, kulay Emes kanal. Then there'll be only Emes. V'al kein liosid lovoy yizbatel hatuma. And therefore, for this reason, in the future, the tuma, impurity, will also be eliminated. K'may shekosuv v'esruach hatuma avir min horetz. The Navi says that Hashem promises that He's going to remove the tuma from the world. Ki oz yihye kuloy echod. Because then there'll be only one, and when there's one, there's no tuma. We'll see K'may shekosuv mi yitain tohor mitame lo echod. Who will give pure from impure? Not one. Pirush, Rabbeinu Zal explains, she'ikar achizas hatahara v'hatuma What this pasuk is telling us is that the whole concept of tahara and tumah, which are two, is based on moving away from one. When there's oneness, there's no possibility of pure and impure. The moment there's two, that's when pure and impure begin. Just like before Hashem created the world, before creation, there was only Hashem. When there was only Hashem, there wasn't any concept of pure and impure. The moment there was a creation, in the beginning, when the Bria was affected, when Hashem created the world, the moment it was created, in its most original pure state, it was one with Hashem. As soon as mistakes were made, as soon as Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, as soon as Averos were done, which are the opposite, the Torah is called Emes. If one breaks, goes against the Torah, they're doing Sheker. The moment a person moved away from the oneness of Hashem, tried to move away from Hashem, that's when there already became a possibility of Tahara and Tumah, and that's where it begins. There begins the problem of having to choose. The whole concept of Bechira, as Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain. Ki koidem habriya, before Hashem created the world, ki shehoya habriya bekoyach kavyochel, when the creation was in theory, when it was kavyochel only in Hashem's mind, koidem shehoitzi el apoyal, before Hashem actually brought the creation into life, into to make it happen, hoya kulo yechod, there was only one. The kulay emes, and there was only truth. The kulay toiv, and all good. The kulay kodesh, and all holiness. Afilu shem toher loy hoya shayach loymar. You couldn't even use the word purity, ki toher ein shayach ela kishyesh tuma. Because to use the term pure, it only has an application when there's impure, relative, just like light and darkness. As the pasuk says, "V'tihartim mikol tumaisechem." I'll purify you from all your impurities. So if there's no impurity, there's no purity. It's, the two are set. Avol kishekula yechod ein shom bechinas cheshbonos rabim. But when there's only one, then there's no concept of two or more, many. Shehu ikar harav hatumah hanal. It's the many. That's the evil and the impurity. Within oneness, there's only purity. The moment you get to two or more, that's where there becomes the beginning of trouble, problems. Ki hataro hu bechinas hamemutza bein hakodesh v'hatuma. Rabbeinu Zal here uses the word kodesh, holy, as synonymous with one. Because kavyochel, the word kodesh is used about Hashem. So kodesh is one. Rabbeinu Zal says, Toher, the term pure, is what's in between Kodesh and Tomei. Sha'al yodoi nistakein hatuma. Tahara is what fixes up Tuma. Kamei shekosov, as the Pasuk says, V'tihartim mikol tumay sechem. I'll purify them from their Tuma. So we see that Tahara is something that only has a place when there's Tuma. And then its function is to correct the Tuma. Vehu bechinas habechira shehu memutza bein shnei dvorim. And this is also the concept of free choice. When we say that a person has free choice in this world, choice means choice between two. And choice is when a person is in that state of choice, they're in the middle of two things. And they may have to make a decision of this one or that one. Vezeh ein shayach koidem habriya. That item didn't exist. It had no application before creation. She'oz ha'yakula yechod. Then there was only one. Ki be'echod ein shayach bechira. Within one, there's no choice. Shehu bechinas hatahara, which means purity. When Hashem brought the creation out from theory into physical form, that's when this concept of purity was created, began. Because the moment that Hashem brought the creation from his mind, kaviyochel, as if we could say, when the creation was within Hashem's mind, when it was a thought within Hashem's mind, it was one with Hashem. The moment Hashem made it happen physically, it separated from Hashem. They became bechinas ha'echad. Then hayu shnei dvorim. Then there became two things: bechinas ha'echad v'habriya. Then there became the one Hashem plus the world plus creation. Va'oz shayach bechira. And that's when the concept of choice begins. That's when it becomes possible for a person to choose whether they want to become one with Hashem or they want to remain with this second thing called creation, which has the option of being closer to Hashem or further from Hashem. Shehu bechinas ha-tahara, shehu memutza bein ho-echod. The Tara is the item that's in middle between the one, the oneness of Hashem, ki hu samuch loy. Tara is something that's very close to Hashem. Va'adayin lo higia lecheshbonos rabim. But in the state of Tara, we haven't yet gone to cheshbon, to many. Shehu hora v'hatuma, which is another word for evil or impure. Yisrael v'yraisa chadhu. Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. Just as Hashem is one, so too the Jewish people are symbolized as one sheep among 70 wolves. They're many, we're one. Our faith in Hashem versus idols, Hashem is called Hashem Echad. And when Hashem speaks about not worshipping idols, he doesn't use singular format. He says, Lo yilecho elekim acherim alponai. Don't have other idols in my place. Always this concept of one versus more than one being the concept of good versus bad. Ach hureishim v'simon al ha-hishtalshelus. The term, the concept of tahara is a beginning, and it's from where it's possible for there to evolve. That from Tara, it's possible for it to extend and to get to a place where there'll be more than one, and where there'll be Tuma, evil. V'alkein kosuv b'zoyar, therefore it's written in the Zohar HaKadosh, she'ikar achizas ha'tuma mi'sitra d'smola. That the main concept, the main place from which Tuma is able to draw its nourishment from is from the left side of the Kiddusha. Even though in actuality there's no concept of right and left by Hashem, but this is presented only to give us a possibility of understanding. When we talk about the midos of Hashem, chesed and gvura, kindness and harshness, which to us, these appear as two different forms of Hashem, kaviyachol, these are referred to as left and right, the right and left side of Hashem. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that tahara, tuma, comes from the left side. Ki ha-tahara miramezes sheyesh tuma. Because the term tahara gives us a hint, an inkling of tuma. Vahu simen sheyishtalshel ad sheyeh tuma. The moment I start using the word pure, there begins a concept of a possibility of impure. Va'alkein efsher lezakech v'lahalois ha-tuma le-tahara. And this is what makes it possible to purify the tuma and convert it to tahara. Kihi bi'atzma nishtal shelo min ha-tahara. It's not as if tuma was a creation unto itself. It was a separate item. Tuma originates from tahara. It comes from a pure place. Kimay shekosu v'tihartim mikol tumaisechem. I will purify from all your tumas. If you read the pasuk the other way, kol tumaisechem comes from tahara. Nimtza sheikar achizas hatuma mebchinas hatahara shebchinas habchira. Now, the beginning of tuma and its place from which it draws from is from tahara. V'hatahara hu bechinas smoil. The term purity, we see it used in the Torah related to the left side. Bechinas Levi. We know that there's a concept of Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. Kohen is the symbol of Chesed, because we know that Avram Avinu is called Kohen in the Torah. Ato Kohen Li'olam, Hashem said. And Avram Avinu is the symbol of Chesed, Achnos Asorach and everything. Levi is the symbol of Din, Givura, harshness. And Yisroel is the combination of both, Tiferes, a mix of both. So here Rabbeinu Zal says, we note that the word Tahara is used by the Levim, V'tiharto es b'nei Levi. So we see that Tahara is associated with the left side. V'levi hu b'china smoil ki yadua. V'alkein ikar achizas ha-tumah hu mebechinas tzmola. The place within Kiddusha from which the tumah draws its nourishment is from the left side. Ki smoil hu bechinas ha-tahara shemishom ikar achizas ha-tumah. Because the left side represents the tahara, which is the place from which tumah draws its beginning. Now this seems to be gobbledygook. It seems to be air. You know, we're using words, terminology, one and pure and impure. And to us, we don't really understand at this point how different one is from pure. Isn't Hashem pure? Would it be insulting to say about Hashem that Hashem is pure? So what are you telling me that purity is the beginning of bad? And yet this is the way Rabbein Azal defines it here for now. And we'll see as we complete this chapter on Likutei Moran, and as we get on to Likutei Halachos, where Rav Nosson Zal gives tangible, more tangible, practical applications of this, we'll see that this takes on very tangible meaning within our lives, within Yiddishkeit. The whole concept of male and female, and all of these things.
Hashem is the concept of Echad. We have this concept of two, the second, then in essence we are, us as human beings are the second. We are in a sense a tuma. If we're not Hashem, then we're tuma.
If we are not Hashem, to the extent that the creation is not at a state of being one with Hashem, to that extent, it's tumah, most definitely. And that, in fact, was the whole purpose of Adam HaRishon in this world. That's the purpose of man in this world. That's the purpose of Bnei Yisrael. Our job is to make the creation to one with Hashem. How do we do it? Yeah. If I take a strawberry, which right now, is this strawberry Hashem? No. Does it look like Hashem? No, Hashem's not pink, and Hashem doesn't have those dots on him. We know that. We're told, Ein Loi Dimus Haguf. And yet if I say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam on this strawberry, I'm tying the strawberry back to Hashem. I'm saying there's not Hashem in the strawberry. I'm saying this strawberry comes from Hashem. And if this strawberry could benefit me any way physically, if this can give me any nourishment or health or pleasure, the pleasure isn't coming from this piece of thing. The pleasure is coming from Hashem. These vitamins and nutrients and baloney, that doesn't give health. It's Hashem that gives the health. Hashem put that, it's the Hashem that's found in this item that gives it the ability to help the person, or chas v'shalom the opposite, whatever Hashem wants. That's just an example of how Hashem created the world in a format where it is, except it did move away from Hashem. Now, a yid has the opportunity to either increase that gap, to make the gap larger. If a Jew ignores Hashem and goes about their business, eating and sleeping and doing work and play, everything, ignoring a Hashem, then it's clear that that person is not doing anything to bring the Bria back to Hashem, to make it at one with Hashem. To the extent that a Jew studies Torah and fulfills the mitzvahs and makes the brings themselves and emulates the midos of Hashem. The Gemara says, "Ma hurachum afato rachum." So a person studies the ways of Hashem and tries to become as much like that as they can. To that extent, the person is moving themselves back to that oneness. But you don't do that in one jump. You got to go via the tahara. That's this purification. Tohar is the midpoint, is the step in between, going from tumah to echod. There has to be this purification that takes place. The moment a person has tumah, any form of tumah, they can't jump directly from tumah to echod. They have to go from tumah to tohar to echod. And again, right now we're talking about it in theory. We'll get more concrete as we go on.
Mm-hmm. Is it okay implying that the ideal is echod? Like no clashes, no... Where elsewhere, like the whole pair of Bnei Yisrael, that there are many different people combining together in that.
You just said it. The beauty is when there's many that become one. That otherwise, why? If the beauty was one, Hashem wouldn't have made a creation. Creation wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. In other words, when there's one only period, in a sense, that's great. That's perfection. But it's not as much a degree of perfection as having taken many and made it into one. One alone by itself, Zohar alone, is a bechina of toiv, in a sense, relative to nekeva. It's chesed compared to din, but the pasuk says, loy toiv heyoy sodom levadoi, that the zohar, with all his mitzvahs, with all his Torah, with all his everything, if he's alone, it's loy toiv. What do you mean it's loy toiv? The Torah is toiv. He has Torah, he has this, that. It's a certain level of toiv, but it's not as high a level of toiv as if he takes two and converts that into one. So that's the whole point. Yisrael, true. The Am Yisrael, again, if Hashem made only one Jew, it wouldn't be as great as Hashem making 600,000 Jews who have the potential to be different. They all are different in different ways. And if they are able, with their differences, to become one, that's the chiddush. That's the greatest accomplishment. That's how Matan Torah took. But any concept of success in Yiddishkeit is that. Whether it's marriage, whether it's Matan Torah, whether it's Moshiach coming, Bayom Ahu Yeh Echod. Not V'chiyoidnu Lav Echod. Yes. Now it's two. Now there's dynamis. And when we're going to take the two and convert it to one, it's going to be a much bigger accomplishment than if simply one remained one. So that's why Hashem created. Otherwise, you would say, then why does Hashem need all of this for? Why does Hashem, if perfection is oneness, then why does Hashem bother making two and then we got to fix it and put it back to one? The answer is that procedure of taking two and making it into one makes the one a better one than it would have been by being one alone. If we say that in marriage, that v'hoyu lebosar echad, again, what kind of baloney? If the result of marriage is going to be one, why bother? Why not just remain one? Because the original one is nowhere near as good. The original one can't have children. The original one can't accomplish certain things. And when there's two converted to one, that's when they can accomplish everything. V'chol ze haynu b'chinas smoil. Bechinas tahara, bechinas bechira, all of these items that we listed, the left side, the tahara, and bechira, which we said are all one set, shemishom ikar hishtal shelus hatuma, from which spirals down the concept of tuma, shehu hora vehahisnagdus, bechinas sheker kanal, which is the other set, the three opposing forces, evil, opposition, and falsehood. Kol zeh nimshach mebechinas achar habriya. All of this only began after there was a creation. Achar sheyotza habriya mikoyach elapoyal. Once Hashem brought the creation into physical being, that's when all of this became possible. Sheoz hoya kavyochol shnei. Then there became two. Dahainu ho'echod, the oneness, Hashem himself kavyochol, vehabriya, and the creation. The canal, as we explained earlier, nimtza, we see from this, she'ikar achizas hasheker shehu hatuma hu machmas horichuk me'echod, that the whole beginning, the source of sheker and all of those things, is because it moved away from one. And you see it in the first pasuk in the Chumash. Bereishis, reishis means one. Reishis means the first. Bereishis, Bora Elokim es hashamayim v'soretz. The first pasuk in the Torah introduces and summarizes in simplest terms what creation was all about. You know what creation was all about? First there was one, and then there became two, and that's the whole story of creation. And that's the whole purpose of creation, that one should become two, and two should become one. That whole concept. V'al yidei hashgochas Hashem yisborach, and through the close watching of Hashem, through Hashem's clear looking at everything in creation, afilu achar hapoula, even after it was created, shehoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikoyach lapoyal, where Hashem brought everything from theory into action, through the hashgocha of Hashem, even after the creation was physically made, kol hadvorim heim ba'achdus imoi. Through hashgacha, everything returns to be one with Hashem. As we just said, the example of making a bracha on food. If the food is just plain food, then it's two. Then there's Hashem and the food. The moment I make a bracha and I acknowledge that this food didn't come into existence without Hashem, and if there's any good in this food, it's only the Hashem in the food. And I do that by making the bracha. That's by declaring the hashgacha of Hashem. That's how I make the creation one with Hashem. The hora yoinek mehashora sahashgacha. And the whole concept of evil draws its power from the remainder, the leftovers of the hashgacha. Hainu me'achoreik sofayim kiyodua. The term that's used in Sifrei Kabbalah is from behind the shoulders kaviyochel of Hashem. In the Kisvei Arizal, it uses certain physical terms to describe the attributes of Hashem, the midos of Hashem. So this term from behind the shoulders represents the place from which the Ra draws its koyach from, which represents the leftover. What's left out of the hashgacha of Hashem, meaning kaviyochel, when a physical person looks in a certain place, their range of vision is so far, it extends in a certain direction, it takes up a certain area. What's outside that vision represents what Rabbi Nizal is calling here the hashoras hashgacha, kaviyochel, anything that's perceived to be outside the range of Hashem's vision. That's where the Ra draws its power from. V'hu rochoik me'echod. And this Ra is far removed from one. Val yedei emes, and through honesty, hashgochas Hashem yizborach olov. To the extent that a person is honest, to that extent the person draws the hashgoch of Hashem upon themselves. K'moy shekosuv, as the Pasuk says, Einai benemnei eretz. Hashem says, my eyes are upon the trustworthy people of the world. So to the extent that a person is honest and trustworthy, they have the eyes, the vision of Hashem takes them in. Vayidei hasheker shehu hara. Whereas if a person lies and a person is associated with falsehood, which is evil, meisir mimenu hashgochas Hashem yisborach. The person forces Hashem to look away from them, not to include them within Hashem's vision. He removes from himself the hashgacha of Hashem. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, doiver shkorim lo yikoin leneged einai. One who speaks falsehood will not stand before my eyes. Meaning that person is taken out of Hashem's range of vision. Ve'ein chiyusoy elo me'achoyrei kaspo. So hold on a second. If Hashem stops looking at a person, the person should dry up. The person should just die there on the spot. How come they don't? The answer is because the main source of life is from the eyes of Hashem, kaviyochel from the front of Hashem. But it's possible for a person to be drawing kaviyochel from the back of Hashem, behind the shoulder of Hashem, kaviyochel. Again, we'll get into more of what this means. Nimtza. Mi shehu roitze sheyihye achar hayeshus vahapu'ula shehoitze mikoyach alapoyal sheyihye kuloy echod. If a person wants that after Hashem created everything and after there's a physical world, if a person wants to make it that all of that should become one with Hashem, sheyihye av uben ke'echod, that the father and the son should be one, the father being Hashem, Reishis, Abba, and the son being the creation, Shamayim and Eretz, Zerantin, which is the Ben. If a person wants to make that one, Kimoy Shehoya Mikoidim, as it was in its original state, Kishehoya Bekoyach, when the creation was only in theory, when it was only in Hashem's mind, Kavyochol, Yishmoir Atzmoy Misheker. The person should watch themselves from any lies, anything false or fake. By doing that, a person will draw the hashgach of Hashem upon them. They'll place themselves in front of Hashem's eyes. And then there'll be this oneness which is the epitome of good.
All the examples that were given as far as to bring from one side back with a stretch of my, for instance, making brachas on various foods and stuff. As in the case of water, in the Septus brachas, there's an opinion there that you don't make a bracha on water. So how then?
I am afraid to say this as fact, but just thinking while you're asking the question, I think a possible answer to that would be because water is the closest you could possibly get to Hashem, in a sense. When Hashem first created the world, the Rav Nosson Zal asks in Likutei Halachos, what's so big about going to the mikveh? What does mikveh accomplish for a person? Rav Nosson says, you know what a mikveh accomplishes? The moment a person goes into a mikveh and goes under the water and covers themselves, submerges themselves completely in water, the person is plugging themselves into the world in its purest state. Because when Hashem first created the world, it was wall-to-wall water. And then it says Hashem separated the Mayim Elyoinim and the Mayim Tachtoinim. Originally, it was all one. When it was in the state of water, it was all one. Then there became Mayim Elyoinim, and then there was Yabosha created, then there became a concept of two, Mayim Elyoinim and Mayim Tachtoinim. Could be that's why there's a thought, a possibility, a question that maybe on water there should need to be a bracha in a sense. Because of the fact that that's the closest, that doesn't need us to do anything to return it to Hashem. That's the closest that you can get to the oneness of Hashem. Maybe. I'm just saying it as a maybe. Now Rabbi Nizal says, what we'll try to do is we'll finish the Torah, Mitzvah Hashem, in this shir. In the next shir, we'll prepare, hopefully, in Likutei Halachos, there's a few extraordinary explanations of this Torah that give you much better, much more practical applications of it for us. V'zeh shomer b'yakiva, kishatem magiyim lavnei shayish tohor. This is what he said to his Talmidim. When you get to this place where there's this pure marble, pure stones of marble, Rabbeinu Zal explains, shayish tohor hu bechinas achar hapula, shehu yesh. Shayish is sheyesh, there is yesh. In the beginning, the terminology that's used in Sifrei Kabbalah is that when Hashem, before creation, there was ayin. Ayin means nothingness. Ayin also refers to this oneness of Hashem that we're talking about. When Hashem created, He created yesh me ayin. The Arizal explains that yesh is the beginning of two. Because kavyochol, the level of Hashem that's called keser, the crown of Hashem, in Keser, there's no left. It's only what there's no concept of a right and left. There's only one. After the crown of Hashem comes Chochma and Bina. That's the beginning of a concept of a right side and a left side too. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says Knei Chochma, Knei Bina. Acquire knowledge, acquire wisdom. The Arizal says Knei Kuf Nun Hei is associated with Chochma and Kuf Nun Hei is associated with Bina. Twice Kuf Nun Hei is Bigimatria Yesh. When we use this terminology that Hashem created the world, Yesh, Me'ayin, it's the same as saying Chochmo and Bina from Keser. It's the same as saying two from one. That's this whole basis of creation. The basis of creation is that originally there was one and then there became two. This is one version of it. So when Rabbi Akiva said to them, when you get to Shayish Tohar, which means Sheyesh, when you get to Yesh, where there's already a beginning of Tohar, Imtir V'oz Shayech Shem Tohar, when you're going to want to take the creation, which once creation happened, there became a possibility of Tohar, Imtir Tse Sheyeh Kamoy Koidim Apula, if you will want to return things to the level of good that there was before creation, Shehoya Bekoyach, when the creation was only Kavyochel in Hashem's mind, Sheyihye Av Uben Keechod, so that the Father, Kavyochel, which means Hashem, and the Son, which means the creation, should become one. Vezehu Kishe'atem Magim La'avnei, when you want to achieve Avnei, what is Avnei? Hu Bechinas Av and Ben Kechoda. Avnei is Av and Ben, those two words. Shehu bechinas koidem abriyo, which means you want to reach the level of good that existed before creation. Shoya bekoya, shoya koil echod. Shayish tohor, hu bechinas achar apula. Shehu bechinas yeshus v'tahara. Shayish refers to yeshus, physical matter. And tahara, im tirtzu lahagia shayish tohor, le'avnei, if you will want to elevate Shayish Tohar, which symbolizes after the creation, you'll want to elevate it to the level of Avnei, which is before creation. The solution is Al Toimru Mayim Mayim Hu Bechinas Sheker. Don't lie. Don't make a mistake. Don't think this is what it isn't. Shenemar doiver shkorim lo yikoin leneged einai. As the pasuk says, that one who lies cannot be within the range of Hashem's vision. Kial yidei sheker hu meiser meyolov hashkochas Hashem yisborach. Because the moment a person lies, they remove Hashem's vision from them. Vehu rochoik meyechod. And the person distances themselves from one. Ach al yidei emes, whereas through honesty, hashkochas Hashem yisborach olav, the person draws the look of Hashem upon them. And to the extent that there is the hashgacha of Hashem, to that extent there's this level of purity from before creation. Now Rabbi Nizal says, V'alkein, based on all of this, we could understand the definition of Gan Eden. When the Torah wants to describe Gan Eden, what does it say about it? It says, V'alkein, schar oilam habo, Ayin loiroaso elikim zulasecho. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, that describes Gan Olam Haba as a place which no eye has seen. The human eye hasn't seen such beauty. Kimeachar sheyiye kulo yechod. Because at that time, there'll be only the one, the oneness of Hashem. Loyiye ayin sheyire. There will not be any other eye to see. Rak Elohim Zulasecho, there'll be only the oneness of Hashem. In other words, there won't be something else plus what Hashem sees. There'll be only what Hashem sees. V'omaroz, Rav Nosson Zal says that when Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir, he said, Shegam boze yesh kushya masheiyef shelohovin. That about this discussion, there's a certain question that we can't understand. Ki im kein, if you're telling me that the whole concept of Olam Haba is an address that's called one, Chai Tide number one, or it's called number one in Olam Haba, if that's what you're telling me, then how is there a concept where every single person is going to be on a different level? Each person is going to get different reward, the Torah tells us. To the extent that a person worked and struggled to serve Hashem, to that's what's going to determine the type of reward the person's going to receive. Ki bevadai gam bahasoif ho'achroin lo yihiyu kulam shavim. Because most definitely, in the future, in the end, all people are not going to be the same. Umeachar sheyihiye kulay echod. And if you're telling me that at that time there's going to be only oneness, how could it be a concept of a difference between one person and another person in terms of what level they'll be on? Rabbi Nizal says that regarding this item, there's a secret that we can't understand. And this is something that's very deep. We know that Rabbi Nizal brings in another chapter on Likut Imran that there are two kinds of questions that exist in life. There are certain questions which it's a mitzvah to try to resolve. It's a mitzvah for a person to try to think about them and to try to find solutions, logical solutions with intellect, with wisdom, to resolve those questions. As the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, V'da mashetoshuv l'apikoiris. You should know what to answer to an apikoiris. Apikoiris means a person who's asking serious questions about faith. What do you mean? Why don't you tell him to go jump in a lake? No. There are certain questions that that person has that require answers and that deserve answers. And if you don't know the answers, you better learn until you know the answers. Whereas there are other questions, which Rabbi Nizal says, those questions you're not allowed to attempt to answer with das, with wisdom, because the wisdom to answer those questions is not available in this world. When Mashiach will come, kimol aretz de'es Hashem, the world will be filled with higher level knowledge, then we'll be able to resolve those questions. And if a Jew attempts to answer those questions with wisdom, they'll get themselves into deeper trouble. Not only won't they answer the question properly, but it'll make for more questions and it'll confuse the person with the question and the one that's trying to answer him, and both will end up in a lot of trouble. Rav Nosson Zal says on Likutei Halachos that this is the concept of the two sections of night. Because when we talk about a question versus an answer, While a person has a question, they're in the dark. When a person has a question about something, it means they're in the dark about that item. They don't understand it. They don't see it clearly. So that nighttime, choshech, represents questions. We know that according to the Torah, according to the Zohar HaKadosh, according to the Shulchan Aruch, he mentions it, the night is divided into two parts. The first half of the night, it's a mitzvah to sleep. A person's supposed to go to sleep. And even tzaddikim, big tzaddikim, what do they do in the first half of night? They go to sleep. But the moment the clock rings and it's midnight, it's chatzos, then the tzaddikim suddenly get up and they start davening and they start learning. The question is why? What kind of baloney? If you're supposed to learn, if you're supposed to learn at night, why not learn all night? And if you're not supposed to learn at night, then you shouldn't learn all night. What's this difference? Rav Nosson Zal explains this corresponds to these two types of questions. That there's one question where the solution to it is emuna, closing your... What does closing the eyes represent? When we say the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we close our eyes. That represents we're closing the eyes, represent the brain, the logic. Vatipokach noinei shneim, the Pasuk says. For the first half of the night, which represents a time when there's super din, super harshness, when those questions that can't be answered are what's buzzing around in the air, then the solution is go to sleep. Don't try to answer it. Simply strengthen your emuna. The Pasuk says, Chadoshim labkorim rab emuna secha. When a person gets up in the morning, their emuna has been regenerated, refreshed. How? By going to sleep, by not thinking. The solution there is not thinking. Whereas the second half of the night, there the solution is especially to use the mind, to learn, because that represents those questions which we're supposed to try to understand and answer. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds on, ubishvil zeh hasheker mazik lo einayim. And this ties back to what we said in the beginning, that lying damages the eyes, chas v'shalom. Ki al yedei hasheker mesalek Hashkochas Eina Hashem Yisborach, because when a person lies, they remove Hashem's look from them. Upoigeim boinayim, and they bring harm to their own eyes. Shehem Bechinas Hashkocha, which represents, symbolize, kavyochol, this look of Hashem. Ki Hashaker Nimshach Meirichuk Meechod, because we learned earlier that falsehood comes about through a distancing from one. One is emes. To say that this is a table is emes. To say that it's a potato, it's an apple, it's an orange, the sheker is many. Shemishom ikra chiza satuma shuhara shuha sheker. By moving away from one, that's where ra, sheker, and all of these things come in. Umachmaze biatzmoi poigem al yidei sheker bahashkocho. And that's why a person is through sheker removes the hashkocha of Hashem from themselves. Because we said before, when the hashkocha of Hashem is solid, then there's all one. Then everything is one. When Hashem is looking at everything, then everything is in a state of oneness with Hashem. Then the after creation is the same as the before creation. Through lying, a person is poigim in that oneness. Because sheker is removed from one. And the person causes a break, a separation between after the creation and before the creation. It's that separation that allows tuma to have a place to hold on to. Whereas when there's truth, shehu bechinas kulay echod, kulay toiv, emes represents one. Emes begins with aleph, one. Kulay echod, kulay toiv. Aydei ze mamshich hashgochas Hashem Yisborach. That person draws upon himself the look, the scrutiny of Hashem. V'yoz hakoil echod. If Hashem is looking at you solid, when two people are looking at each other, they enjoy looking at each other solidly, they're becoming one. That's a concept of the oneness. Ponim b'ponim. Ki al yedei ha-hashgocho nichlal achra b'riya b'koidem ha-briya kanal. Because it's through the hashgocho of Hashem, that's what unites after the Bria with before the Bria. V'zeh om Rabbi Akiva kanal. This is what Rabbi Akiva was referring to his Talmidim when he warned them, don't lie, don't think, al toimru mayim mayim, because the sheker is what removes this hashgoch of Hashem. If you want to make avnei shayish toher into avnei, the key is not to lie. And with this, we connect the beginning of this chapter, Likut Imran, with the end. And the end with the beginning. Tying the beginning and the end with the middle. And Rabbein Azal says, understand this well. Whenever he says Vahvein Heitev, he means this isn't simple, this is deep. You have to study this carefully and review it and do the Rashi on it, do the Likutei Tfilos on it, and do the Likutei Halachos on it, and then you'll understand this in more practical terms. Note, this isn't coincidence that he says to connect the beginning with the end, and the end with the beginning, and both of them with the middle. The word Emes, the Aleph is the beginning letter of the Aleph Beis, the Tof is the last letter of the Aleph Beis, the Mem is the middle letter. This chapter on Likutei Moran is the one of the Yesodos in Likutei Moran where Rabbein Azal gives a definition to Emes, to show that Emes is Echod, that's the oneness of Hashem, and explaining how Tara and Tuma are two steps removed from this Emes. It's Hashem, in the next shiur we'll go into it more.